Okay, so we're still considering the implications of what I call successive collision theory, where two massive pockets, much larger than our visible universe, pass through each other, and we're exploring, the possible answers that this solves compared to our current frame of reference, our current paradigm that struggles with explaining certain observations. So one of them would be the red transients and blue transients and missing stars. And we have, there is a rumor that the James Webb telescope focused on an area where we had previously seen two different stars go dark in succession. The timing of them going dark indicated that if it was caused by something moving between them, it would have been moving faster than the speed of light. Something that Hubble wasn't able to do, and VASCO project wasn't able to do, is do a spectral analysis between the bodies, and there is, I believe, a report that James Webb validated the potential motion of something in between them. With the timing that the bodies went dark, we may be able to calculate a velocity greater than the speed of light and potentially then explain this through a faster than light primordial or stellar miniature black hole. A small black hole, because black holes can take on any size based on their original density, but if that moved through our universe faster than the speed of light, and there is a potential that we do not understand all of the possible laws of physics as it relates to superluminal collisions. We know that something moving 0.999 the speed of light, when it hits something, is going to release a huge amount of energy. But if it's 1.99 the speed of light, or maybe 5 times the speed of light, we don't really know. But there is potentially an ability for something like a black hole, small enough, to pass through a star without causing a collision. Instead, as it passed through, it just needs to suck enough of the internal mass inwards on itself to form, to surpass the mass ratio of a Schwarzschild radius, and it will form a black hole and gobble up the rest of the sun. It is theory, pure theory. I don't have any math to back it up. But right now, we believe that the mass of these two stars is still there because we believe the gravitational impact of those stars remains. But they're no longer hot. They're not stars. They went cold and dark. Okay? So if they turned into black holes, the only way I can think of them turning into black holes is because a black hole passed through their center. The only way to get a black hole to pass through the center of a star without eating it up is it has to be going fast enough to not get significantly slowed down passing through that star. To hit two separate stars in succession, that's the odds are pretty astronomical when you think about it because of how far apart everything is. But because there is no straight line through the universe without potentially hitting something. Or there, there's limited straight lines before you're going to hit something that anybody entering our visible universe does have a potential to hit something. So one thing we could do to further prove this is continue using the resources of the VASCO project to locate red transients, because a body moving through a red transient or a body that causes red transients won't lose much of its momentum, and so it should be able to continue on. That means we should be able to see across, if we have a large enough gas cloud, if we can track it in real time, the creation of the red transients in near real time, we can gauge the potential velocity of the body moving inside of that nebulous gas cloud to cause them to ignite, and that may be able to prove a faster than light body. Otherwise, we may be able to use the ignition of the red transients to extrapolate an approximate trajectory and velocity of this body. And even if the red transients almost seem to happen all at once and we can't gauge the speed, we potentially can gauge the path and look for other either gas clouds, further red transients to be predicted, or potentially a blue transient or disappearing star if we expect that body to collide with something. It could take thousands of years to get lucky enough to be looking in the right patch of sky at the right time to see this. But over time, we may have hundreds, if not thousands, of arrays of James Webb-type technology. What we've invested in James Webb is a learning curve that's going to allow us to produce similar types of instrumentation, hopefully cheaper, but a little bit more redundant and able to work in large arrays. Because as a large array, we can gather more data. We can see more parts of the sky in real time. And so over the next 1,000 years, we can anticipate a much better understanding of galactic structures. And I predict someday we will prove successive collision theory thanks to red transients and or blue transients and disappearing stars. So look up the Vasco Project and Beatrice and her folks if you want to help out. The other thing that I want to talk about was the horizon problem. The reason we came up with something called inflation was originally due to the horizon problem. Now, I find it a little odd that we know that recombination occurs at approximately 3,000 Kelvin. And then we question why the energy or temperature of the cosmic microwave background appears so similar. It's only off by tiny parts in thousands. It's basically indicating that the process of recombination happened over a small frame of time across a discrete span of space. It may have taken weeks or months for the entire visible universe to all cool down. But what we would predict is that there would have been an approximate degree of impact on many of these collisions, especially the head-on ones, producing a very similar amount of kinetic energy, a heat output that would be very similar across large parts of the universe. The secondary collisions and the third collisions, fourth collisions, again, they're going to produce other pieces of heat that may partially tie to some of these discrepancies. And then we have the amount of time it took to cool from the initial temperature through to the 3,000 Kelvin. You know, again, 308,000 days, maybe 308,000 hours, but if all of that energy started with a very, very similar amount of energy, amount of temperature, then as it cools, you know, we would be predicting a very similar, nearly isotropic CMB. Again, this is something that may come out of the computer modeling and simulations. We'll be able to produce models and simulations based on math that we may not fully understand yet, but we can continually tweak the parameters until we begin to see the results that mimic the observations we have of the earliest state of the universe. It's a way to back into something through observation, and I'm not the first one who's recommended doing this. I want to say, I'm sure other people besides Arthur Eddington mentioned it, but I believe he came into a way to try to back into something through observation and figured it out. And others have as well. You know, that's part of how science works, is it's through the extrapolation of, geez, already up to 10 minutes ago. Wow, these things are going quick. I'll have to finish collision theory on my next podcast. So I'll bid you adieu. Live long and prosper. May the force be with you. 42.